One of the great philosophers of our time once said, "There is something in my stomach that knows everything, and that's where the magic is." Well, that philosopher is actually a six-year-old boy by the name of Christopher Corthay. But clearly he knows something about the profundity, mystery, and magic of life itself, as do we. Many of us were and still are enamored of the 7 Harry Potter books that J.K. Rowling wrote and of the 8 movies that were created based on these books. And Universal Studios has taken some of its space at its theme parks in Orlando, Florida, to build the Village of Hogsmeade along with Diagon Alley and Hogwarts, where so much of Harry's adventures take place. Tens of thousands of people descended on Diagon Alley this summer when it was open. And thousands more were there a few weeks ago when my 2 adult children and I met there and together rode on the Hogwarts Express, drank butterbeer. By the way, butterbeer tastes like, actually it's delicious, I think. Tastes like cream soda, and then there's the foam that never melts on top. It's also where we visited Ollivander's wand store, and you have to get your own wand. And we cloaked ourselves in Gryffindor robes, which cost $110 each. And yet there are all these little children in Gryffindor robes around Diagon Alley and Hogsmeade. They were just, you know, and they're going to grow out of them within a year. But it's fascinating. And then, of course, you have to have the scarf as well. So what is it that so attracts us to Harry, to his friends and his adventures? Why is it that Unitarian Universalist ministers throughout the country have done sermons on the Harry Potter series and that curricula abound among UU churches for use in their RE classrooms? What is it that is truly so magical? First, let me note that not everyone agrees that the Harry Potter series is innocuous. Many fundamentalist Christians, for example, have spoken out against these writings. In fact, at the height of Harry's popularity, Lynn Erskine Nazi wrote, "Harry Potter is the most complained about book in the country right now, according to the American Library Association. Critics, including Christian fundamentalists in 13 states, are demanding Harry be banned because they claim his adventures celebrate witchcraft." The books can prove to be a powerful advertisement for the occult religion, states Karen Jo Gunad, founder of Family Friendly Libraries, one of the anti-Potter parties. So Harry was popular in many ways. I would like to suggest, however, that like any true hero's journey, Harry Potter speaks to us on a variety of levels. J.K. Rowling herself remarks that the idea that we could have a child who escapes from the confines of the adult world and goes somewhere where he has power, both literally and metaphorically, really appealed to me. So where could a child who goes somewhere where he has power take us? We meet Harry when he is 10 years old. He lives with his aunt, his uncle, and cousin, all of whom treat him pretty shabbily. But they are his only living relatives, as far as he knows. His parents died when he was a baby. Harry lives with a family, but he is alone. He lives in an unfriendly context where he's constantly put down and emotionally abused. He knows nothing about his parents and his own roots. Harry does not know who he truly is and what he is capable of being. That is, until one day when a large man by the name of Hagrid comes to the door and informs Harry that not only is Harry a wizard, but he has been accepted to attend Hogwarts School of Wizardry. You don't know, Hagrid ran his fingers through his hair, fixing Harry with a bewildered state. "You don't know what you are," he said firmly. "I'm a what?" gasped Harry. "A wizard, of course," said Hagrid. and I reckon it's about time you read your letter. Harry pulled out the letter and read, Dear Mr. Potter, I won't do that anymore. We are pleased to inform you that you have been accepted at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. Please find enclosed a list of all necessary books and equipment. So Harry enters a brand new world, one that is full of all sorts of wondrous things, including, of course, magic. The world which he discovers and which coexists with the real world is replete with witches and wizards and goblins and unicorns, dragons, ghosts, flying broomsticks, and of course, magic wands. The world which Harry discovers also contains the demonic, the shadow, the evil which desires to destroy him. Harry learns that this evil force named Voldemort actually killed his own parents when he was an infant, and that he tried to kill Harry as well at the same time. Miraculously or magically, Harry was saved, and Voldemort's power was diminished. But the shadow, over time, gains strength and desires to return not only for its own sake and power, but for vengeance against Harry. And Harry, over time, also gains strength and learns of powers within and outside of himself of which he was never aware. In each of the seven works, Harry confronts and fights the shadow, this demon bent on destruction. What is interesting is that although J.K. Rowling is writing the Harry Potter series as children's books, she is quite blunt and stark in her depiction of evil and death. The heroes in the stories, primarily Harry and his two friends, Hermione and Ron, which is a very interesting trinity, must deal fully with the realities of life, however unpleasant they may be. In their own personal growth and development, the children must deal with evil and with the shadow within. That is, with any force that tries to destroy life itself. So with all the tragedy, the meanness of people towards one another, and at times the horror, what endears us to Harry Potter? Is Harry Potter a savior? Is he a religious figure for today's youth? Is he a spiritual figure or hero for a secular culture? There might be elements of this, but I think Rowling has written something that speaks to many of us because it is a myth. It tells us something about the human condition that helps us in our own struggles, our own aloneness, our own sense of helplessness, our own pain, while at the same time making us ever more aware of our own selves as we move towards personal reconciliation and personal empowerment. Good mythology helps us to grow and to heal. It helps us to deal with our own dragons, our own shadow, so that we can discover the magic within. What endears us to Harry Potter as well is that Harry is a child, appealing also to the child in us. And he finds a world where he can experience always wonder and awe. Even in all the movies, the actor playing Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe, shows beautifully the constant wonder at what he sees around him and at the power that emerges from who he is. I would maintain that one of the spiritual components to these works come from this. Harry lives in a magical world because everything is so very much alive. He knows, like Christopher Corthe, that the magic is right here in our stomachs. And this means, too, that it is okay to have fun. Even in the midst of adversity and tragedy, Rowling provides a context that is fun and funny. Well, Hermione tends to be a bit too serious at times. After all, she's the bookworm and the scholar among the trio. So it's Ron's character that is to help loosen things up a bit. In any trinity, you really do need to have a trickster. But these books are just plain fun, and it is not uncommon to just burst out laughing while reading. And sometimes in quiet moments, there are also tears. In identifying with these wonderful children and in living in a world full of wonder and awe, we have been allowed to enter our own magical kingdom. But Rowling pushes, I think, our understanding of what magic ultimately is in an unusual direction. At the end of the third book, when Harry is 12 years old, he saves an evil wizard's life. The headmaster Dumbledore commends him. "You did a very noble thing in saving Pettigrew's life." "But if he helps Voldemort back to power," says Harry, "Pettigrew owes his life to you. When one wizard saves another wizard's life, it creates a certain bond between them." "I don't want to have a connection with Pettigrew," said Harry. "He betrayed my parents." "This is magic at its deepest. It's most impenetrable, Harry. But trust me, the time may come when you will be very glad you saved Pettigrew's life." Harry couldn't imagine when that would be, and Dumbledore looked as though he knew what Harry was thinking. "I knew your father very well, both at Hogwarts and later, Harry," he said gently. "He would have saved Pettigrew too. I am sure of it." To have helped another, even when the other is an enemy, establishes a bond and a deep connection. This is magic at its deepest, its most impenetrable. It is the ability to do what is good, just, and noble because of a conviction that life and love connect us more truly to what truly is. Rowling gives us another poignant scene which suggests again that magic is the power of love and connection. Harry looked up at him. Dumbledore wouldn't laugh. He could tell Dumbledore. "I thought it was my dad. I mean, when I saw myself across the lake, I thought I was seeing him. It was stupid thinking it was him," he muttered. "I mean, I knew he was dead." "You think the dead we loved ever truly leave us?" said Dumbledore. "You think that we don't recall them more clearly than ever in times of great trouble? Your father is alive in you and shows himself most plainly when you have need of him. Harry, in a way, you did see your father last night. You found him inside yourself. In his stomach, inside himself, Harry finds the magic to be with his parents." But Harry never knew his parents, and yet in every single book, in some way, he sees them, and he connects with them. And he finds out that what saved him as an infant from Voldemort was his parents' love. Harry also finds out in the last book that a part of Voldemort's soul was transferred into his own. Once again, he is confronted with the fact that he has to deal with the shadow within himself, with the propensity to do that which diminishes life rather than live it fully in its magical beauty. The only way he can do that is to die. And while that fragment of soul, says Professor Dumbledore, unmissed by Voldemort, remains attached to and protected by Harry, Lord Voldemort cannot die. "So the boy must die?" asked Professor Snape. And so finally the truth. Harry understood at last that he was not supposed to survive. His job was to walk calmly into death's welcoming arms. Neither he nor Voldemort would live. Neither would survive. So unlike Voldemort, whose goals are power and immortality, Harry accepts the necessity of his death. As he walks into the forest to face Voldemort, he sees once again his parents and friends who have died, but who have always been there and whose love saved him many times throughout his young life. "They were neither ghosts nor truly flesh," writes Rowling. He could see that. They moved toward him, and on each face there was the same loving smile. His mother's smile was widest of all. She searched his face hungrily, as though she would never be able to look at him enough. "You've been so brave," she said. And Harry has trouble speaking. Does it hurt? Dying? Not at all. So said Harry, you'll stay with me? His mother says, until the very end. Harry faces Voldemort, his shadow, his death, his mortality, and never raises his wand. He is hit with a death spell and falls to the ground. All people, all heroes, must die. We must all die to our ego, our pride, our fears. And then on the hero's journey, there is rebirth. Harry is able to choose to return. He has one more confrontation. But this time, the shadow within Harry is gone. That part of Voldemort that attached itself to Harry when he was a baby is no longer present. Voldemort will destroy himself out of pride, the desire for power, and the need to be an immortal god. Harry is no longer afraid of death. He has faced it fully. Voldemort can no longer withstand Harry's power, the power Harry has found in the connection with the world around him, the love among family and friends, and the acceptance of being human. Voldemort dissipates into thin air, killed by his own rebounding curse. He can no longer hurt Harry. He can hurt only himself. No person has the luxury of transcending the human condition. No one can ultimately control others, nor beat death. Any attempt to do so diminishes the individual and others around him. The power of myth is that it teaches us these lessons over and over again. This is why mythology is religious and spiritual in nature. This is why Harry Potter is so beloved. It holds up our own awakening, our own magical transformation. And it often comes from our own child within. There's something in my stomach that knows everything. And that is where the magic is. Blessed be, and amen.